Hey y'all, it's Dr. Pookie back on the mic, and with a special episode. I had planned to release the new episode for this week and officially return, but you know, life said your plans are cute, but that's not what's happening right now. And then I see that we have a shit show going on in our nation's capital. So I thought I'd come out today and just talk with you a little bit and still do an episode. It's a mini-sode, but it's an episode. So let's get into it. So I am the aforementioned Dr. Pookie, and I am here to have conversations with my brothers and my bristas, but I know that all of y'all out there can hear me. I'm going to be talking about how to be in right relationship with yourself and with others, how to live well, whether that be mental, physical, spiritual health, and last but not least, you know, having the best sex that you can get, because I do love talking about sex. So that is what it is, and I'm happy to be back on the mic, and I am probably going to be recording another two or three episodes this week, and we'll go from there. So, what are we doing today? Let's get into the fuckery and the foolishness that has befallen us. And really, it started way back with birtherism. And we now have it today where we had folks literally from, I don't know, I haven't seen all the news footage. I had to see the dentist today. Then I was running errands. So I was getting updated on text messages from friends and the like, and got to watch a little bit of YouTube news clips and things like that, and some live footage on my tablet and on my phone. But as I understand it, we had some quote unquote patriots storm the Capitol building, and they got in there and just brought mayhem to the party. And apparently a young woman has lost her life, and I don't know much else about it. I did see the video clip of her lying on the ground and was bleeding from her mouth, and it just was horrifying. And I just looked at that, and I looked at the disparity in police presence, National Guard presence, today, as opposed to when Black Lives Matter was in town. And it spoke to my spirit, and I just sat there and I was like, ooh, watch whiteness work. That was all I can do with it. So, you know, in thinking about today, one topic that really came to mind in the midst of just this administration and the election that preceded it, and then this election cycle that we're in, I've asked myself, where is the joy? You know, there's a lot to be grateful for. We're still here. We're alive. Hopefully we have not been touched directly by COVID. At the same time, for those of us that have or have lost family or friends, you are in my prayers. And I too have had two close friends. One of them is basically, I think he's over it. The other is still down, but his symptoms were pretty mild, thankfully. And so it's just a lot of mess going on in the world. But, you know, one of the things I definitely grasp onto is gratitude. And that's definitely a good foundation upon which to build any day. But I really thought, you know, I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive in this lifetime. And that's one of those aspects of living well, is to really be focused on self-care and purpose in your life, but also being aware of who you are and what you want. And for me, as Nina Simone sang, and I still cannot remember who may have done it first, I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want some sweetness down in my soul. Come on, Daddy. Feet Save My Soul. You know, I love that song. And so I really kind of saw that sweetness is joy. And so I want to talk a little bit about joy today before I get into any listener letters and, you know, that advice that some of y'all love that I give. So the first thing I want to say is that, you know, when I think about joy, my previous minister did a series of sermons on different emotions and attitudes and states of being, and one of them was joy. And while that sermon was well over a year ago now, I just cannot remember the substance of it. And I actually recorded this episode once upon a time, but then my hard drive died, and me not quite knowing how to reinstall a hard drive resulted in me deleting my secondary drive that had all of my my archive on it. And for some reason, this show's recordings were on that drive. I don't know why, but I had like 4 episodes and I was just about ready to relaunch with 5. And I just said, 2 tears in a bucket, motherfuck it. And, you know, then my health got crazy yet again. And, you know, again, life just pulling out my wig, just telling me that what I thought was going to happen is not necessarily what was going to happen. And so I'm here. I don't feel like it's the perfect time, or quote unquote, the best time, but it's time. So joy, when I think about it, you know, a lot of times we get joy wrapped up with happiness. And I realized after giving it some thought that happiness comes from outside of you. You know, we often talk about, oh, so-and-so, I need them to make me happy, or this, you know, this new object or this new purchase, you know, or this new piece of trade can make me happy and curl my toes and, you know, get down in my soul. And while that may be true, I think that happiness is a beautiful thing, but joy, that's an intrinsic thing that comes from within us, and we often have to find it. So, of course, I was like, well, how in the world do we find joy? You know, because I know I, spending most of 2019 on my back with illness and damn near dying a couple of times, and that mess stretching into 2020 with, I think I've had, 7 ER visits, 2 hospitalizations, including 1 ICU stay, which was actually quite plush. It was nice, but I would have rather been at home. But it was nice digs. I had my own room and it was lovely, with a privacy curtain and everything, but I digress. I definitely had to get past, you know, the mental the haymakers that I took physically as well as mentally, because my life basically stopped. It just did. There was very little that I could do. Rolling over, getting to the bathroom to wash my teeth and do my morning constitutional was some days a tall order, and particularly difficult when you're dizzy, because you don't have eardrums. So it was an ordeal. And, you know, I was in the hospital as recently as early September of this year. Just what the hell. So gratitude was definitely something I had to find within myself and not be so frustrated with all the roadblocks and all the turns off of the path that I believed I was supposed to be on. And I think learning that I had to be flexible in life. That's one of the first things that can help you with joy, is to just be flexible and see the bigger picture. It may not, you know, what's happening in that moment may not be exactly what you had in mind or even what you wanted. However, it might be what you need. So with that said, I went out and did a little research because I wanted to know a little bit more about this thing we call joy. We hear about it, and I think a lot of us would probably say, oh, it's a state of extreme happiness. And that, that could work if if that's what you're looking for. But when I did, I poked around a little bit and I didn't want to get too technical because, I am still a doctor, so I can go hardcore into the journals and all the research, or I can do a little popular press. And for this one, I pulled up an article on looking at authenticity as a path to joy. And it was by E.B. Johnson, and I will have to dig up the link for this. I don't see it in my notes, which is really bad preparation on my part. Raggedy doctor, raggedy. But E.B. Johnson writes that authentic people are happier because, one, they're on their own path. And I was just talking about paths, right? They're on their own path, and sometimes they need to recognize that that path is not always what they think it's supposed to be. We are stubborn creatures. We plan, hope sometimes. Some of us plan, some of us, we live life by the seat of our pants, and that works for us. But many of us plan, and we kind of lay out a life path for ourselves, a career path, a romantic path. We have our ideas, our preconceived notions about what's supposed to happen and in what order, and at what appointed time. However, it doesn't always work out that way. And I am definitely a testament to that. So, authenticity, though, is about being in touch with your purpose and having integrity around that purpose. So, knowing what you stand for, understanding why you're here, what you're supposed to do while you're here, and then pursuing that as part of your life path. If you are authentic in that way, you tend to be happier because you have the bigger picture. You're more in touch with yourself. Now, the second thing that E.B. Johnson said about authentic people being happier is because they're more resilient. So remember we talked about that idea of you just kind of shuffling along on your path and getting your two-step and, doing your little dance, and suddenly you get knocked off the path. Suddenly, there's just this major detour. There's a big detour that a lot of us are dealing with right now. Goes by the name of Lady Rona, Miss Rona, or COVID-19, has completely shaken the foundation of a lot of our lives. And it's one of the reasons I said, Doc, you need to get back on the mic because though you didn't have a lot of people, not like I had hundreds of thousands of listeners. But I did have listeners. And again, I wanted to give you the best that I had. I felt like that was my path. And I realized that that wasn't necessarily the path that I was supposed to take. Perhaps I was supposed to just model presence and authenticity and giving you the best that I had in the moment, not necessarily this wild, spectacular vision, because I had a vision, y'all. I had a vision. I was even going to record tonight in video, and I just couldn't get it to, it wasn't supporting my vision. So I let it go. Again, I stepped off of that path and shifted a little bit, and I didn't have a fit about it. I was more resilient about it. I accepted and rolled with that punch. And again, resiliency is all about being able to take a hit and come back, to encounter disappointment and not give up, to grow up in hell and still turn out to be a pretty good person because that's who you are. It's not who someone may have raised you to be or raised you to be through neglect or just pure evil, but just really being who you are and looking at the world and being in it, interacting with the world and realizing that, damn, this shit was fucked up, but okay, let me pull something good out of it. Is there anything to be learned here? And I asked myself that question many days over the last couple of years because life as I knew it changed a lot. My brother is creeping up on 50 in a couple of years, and stuff ain't working like it used to. Just today when I got home, I'm staggering from a car, and I got in the door, and my nephew was here, and that was just an explosion of energy that I struggled to manage, but I got through it. Resilience, big time resilience. And then his sibling showed up, and I was like, oh Lord. His little sister, she's oh gosh, I never remember. She's 3 or 4, but she is just the most adorable thing. But she is like a bull in a china store. Just unstoppable. And in dealing with her, I was just like, little girl, little girl. And then I was like, don't stifle her, don't shut her down, don't do her like that. And so I had to really kind of get my head together and just recognize that I am grateful for these little people, including my twin nephews. I'm grateful for these little people. I'm grateful for my sister and her husband, my mother, to have a roof over my head, to have some nachos that I had just thrown together real quick because the sugar was getting a little low. And just to be in touch with self and source, because a lot of us aren't. Some of us were in DC today tearing up shit and doing it based on a lie, just flat out, a series of lies. I just don't get it, that sense of entitlement. But we'll talk about that in another episode. I'm pretty sure you don't want to talk about a whole lot of politics tonight. So the third characteristic, or the third reason that authentic people are happier, is because they have more meaningful relationships. So when you have a clear understanding of who you are, you understand the why and the how of your relationship to other people. One of the things that I noticed with me is I kind of had an awakening, and it wasn't like it was just like boom, I'm awake. It was like, no, it took some time. We're talking about 10, 12 years where I realized that I had to shed and discontinue, let go of relationships, to people, to things, to situations that just no longer serve me. And because the days where I experienced joy were few and far between. It just, and it wasn't necessarily this idea of, oh, this person's killing my joy, or, oh gosh, I need to get this out of my house. It's like, no, this is not supposed to be here. This doesn't belong to me. This is not for me. And so when I realized who I was better able to turn loose those other folk. So I want to encourage you to have an idea and really explore who are you? What do, and why does it matter? Because those are the three core questions in our lives. Who am I? What do I do while I'm here? And why does it matter? If you can answer those three questions, you will have a path to authenticity as well as joy. Okay? And once you understand those things, you'll start to attract people that will help you along the way with fulfilling that purpose in life. Okay? That help you to understand who you are and how you're shifting and evolving, but also to help you to understand different ways of doing. The idea of when we know better, we do better. But actually, maybe encountering people and building relationships with them that go deep, where you can actually trust them to say, I recognize that you're excited to be a dad, but your ass ain't ready. And for them to say that to you and you to be resilient enough to hear it, okay, and understand what you're walking into, where you're going, but also for that person to kind of nudge you in a direction to help you explore why in the world are they saying this to me? I know they're not trying to say it to hurt me. It did sting, but why are they saying it? And I think that those relationships, because I've built some of those relationships in the last 4 or 5 years, where I'm just like, wow, I didn't know folks like you were out. It's like you knew folks like that were out there, like these wonderful, awesome people. But you often, for me, I kind of was like, well, that's not my crowd. Why would this person want to be bothered with me? And I was so focused on all of my stuff and my baggage and my Gucci luggage set that I didn't recognize that they saw me in ways that I just couldn't see myself. But nowadays, I'm starting to see myself that way. And part of that is the joy that I have in those relationships with people. They help remind me of, are you kidding? Okay. They help to remind me of what I'm doing, why I'm here, and why it matters, not just to me, but to the world, to the people in relationship with me. So when I talk about the idea of sexual healing with Dr. Pookie, of living well, of being in right relationship with yourself and with others, and again, a good part, if sex is part of that relationship, is having the best sex possible. It is about being healthy. It is about being in a good space with yourself and with other people, because that takes a lot of that anxiety out of it, so you can just enjoy the sex. You can bring your best stuff to the sex. You could bring your WAP. You could bring your BAD. We're not going to talk about a BBC because I'm just not getting into that shit today. But certainly you can bring your big ass dick, your BAD. Okay. And of course, the dick may not be big by conventional standards, but if it's pulsating and it's just like rock hard, it's big enough. I'm just saying. All right. So now, E.B. Johnson also shares some tips to be more authentic every day. And it'll help you to access joy when you need it. First tip was to cultivate self-awareness. So again, this idea of who are you and how who are you in relationship to others? Not so much the idea of defining yourself in your relationship to others, where it's like, oh, I'm so-and-so's husband, or oh, I'm so-and-so's boyfriend, or oh, I'm so-and-so's, I'm their Thursday piece of ass. It's not that idea of self-awareness, but really understanding who you are and what you bring to your relationships with other people. That gives you an idea of self-awareness and also understanding the impact that you have on people out in the world. The second tip, and this was a big one for me, and sometimes I still have my little death grip on it, but it's much looser than it used to be. Second tip for being more authentic every day is to let go of perfectionism. This will be a topic for an episode in the future, because Lord, it has been a battle. But again, it's a worthy battle, and it's a battle that requires resilience. It requires me understanding what my path is. And it also requires me having those relationships with those people that I trust and respect and know, who can say to me, "Hey, dude, you tripping. You gotta let that shit go." And they do that on a regular basis. I just got my wig tugged on this evening. I'm in the bed trying to pull myself together after a rough day, and my friend calls and she's like, "So, what you writing on this week? What's going on with the book?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on the erotic novel and blah 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 blah." And she's like, "Okay, well, who are some of the characters in it?" And I'm sitting here like, I know you hear me sounding like barely functioning here. Like I was tossed, just tossed the hell up. I'm in the bed, my hips hurting. And I'm sitting here like, do I need to pull out some CBD cream and rub it into my hips just to make them holes settle down and give me a minute? Because they were burning and they were angry. And I said, what did I do? I'm afraid they're gonna have to go in there and replace them bitches at some point. And I'm not thrilled about that because I already know I'm gonna need a new knee. So I don't need all these extra bionic parts, but apparently they are in my future. We have bad joints in my family. It's just one of the things that we do and one of the consequences that we have. Okay. So while I'm talking with her, she's just like, okay, who else is in the book? And is that a minor? And then she's like, well, who are the minor characters? Who are the major characters? I'm like, girl. But it was really cool, and I appreciated her for pulling that out of me, because I wasn't, while I am writing this novella, I wasn't fully aware of the project. You write stuff down, or it's in an outline. You're like, I'll get to it. It'll happen when I cross it. And just kind of walking through this book with her, I was just like, oh, and there's this character, and then I said to her, I was like, remember, I haven't let go of this character yet. It might be 3, 4 years before that book comes out for that character, but there was a character that I kind of wrote, inspired by her. I won't say based on her, but inspired by her. And so, one of the things that I realized, certainly talking about my path, is that there was, or there is, an artist, a writer in me just screaming to get out. And I find immense joy in writing and telling stories. And so I'm doing that right now. They're kind of nasty. It's a little buck wild epic that I'm writing right now. It's something else, but I'm having fun with it, as are my characters, because they are hot, sweaty, and nasty, and just yes. But I'm gonna leave that alone. Try to get back on topic here. Okay, the third tip to be more authentic every day is to start being present. Live in the moment and accept reality. A perfect example of this, frankly, is 45 and these election fraud charges and allegations. They're not based in any sort of discernible reality at this point. When you have members of your own party basically saying, no, there was no fraud. It was the most secure election we've ever had. And yes, we did it using mail-in, absentee. We had some people voting electronically. We had paper ballots. I don't know if we had any hanging chads out there. I know in California we use the ink blotters. But we had people voting in a lot of ways. And it was a huge operation. And despite our postal system being fucked up, it still generally went off without too many hitches. It wasn't perfect. There was some foolishness, there was some fuckery that went down, but by and large, it happened. And so our occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is really not accepting reality. And so I just don't know how much joy and authenticity is there. I just feel like that is a very miserable existence. And to be arguably the most powerful person on the planet, and you are just thoroughly unhappy. It's just that you don't want to be that person. So, again, when life throws you curveballs, haymakers, roundhouse kicks to the throat, you name it, recognize that you have the stuff that it takes to take that hit, nurse your wounds, and get your ass back out there. And scrap some more. Fight, claw, be present. Attack and appreciate every single moment, because they're not promised to us. We just hope that the next moment is there. Hearts stop beating every day. We have people who are dying by the thousands every day, which again, it's like this phantom menace, because we can't see it. We're not allowed into the hospitals. We don't get to pass by this ward full of all these people on respirators that we can see. We have family members that may go into the hospital and we never see them again, or we see them on FaceTime in their last moments, but they're dying without us. And so those are some harsh realities, but I would imagine the people that are finding joy, even in the midst of that major amount of loss and grief, they're finding it because they're resilient, but they're also able to reflect on who they lost and what they shared with them. I recently lost my aunt, my youngest aunt, who was basically like my big sister. We were barely, a year and 4 months apart, roughly. So we grew up like siblings. And just one day a phone call came in and she was gone. And certainly there was no joy to be found that day, that week. One day I'm walking through the house and I just get like a thought. I could hear her talking in my head, talking about, a snooty booty. And I just kind of busted up laughing. And, cause I have all these little crazy things I say, and she would kind of like mimic me. And I, she was being a big sister. It brought a major smile to my face. It lifted my spirit. And, I was very grateful to her. And I found some joy, even though, her death was devastating. I can see myself in a mirror now trying to brush my teeth, tears running down my face, because it's happened and the family gets mobilized and we're trying to be there for my grandmother because she just lost her youngest. And her youngest left behind 4 children and 2 grandchildren. And it wasn't like she was ill and they knew it was coming. She just went to bed one night and didn't wake up. And yet I see each of them having those moments of joy. And I don't intrude upon them and say, "What you smiling about?" But I just see them smiling and I see the people that I remember coming back. And so again, joy, being authentic, being who you are, who you're supposed to be from an internal sense, not what the world tells you you're supposed to be, but who you in your spirit, in your soul, in your gut believe you're supposed to be, is about authenticity. Okay. So one thing I've talked about before, which it lines up with the 4th tip, is find the meaning. So E.B. Washington says, recognize what you can control and what you cannot. Be willing to invest yourself in life's experiences with an open heart. So this idea of an open heart is the idea of approaching life saying yes. Or if you're advanced, yes and. Just this idea of I'm gonna be open to this experience. Okay. And I'm going to say yes, even though it's unusual. It's not in my wheelhouse. It's not what I do. It's not the image I have of myself. Yet finding meaning is important. I mean, my nephew, we are 40 years apart in age. So of course he feels like I'm this oversized kid, which in many respects I am, but he wants to always play these games. And I'm sitting here like, little boy, I got work to do. I got a business to run. I got a book to finish, and I don't have time to play Roblox with you. But the reality is I usually will say yes, even if I give him a time limit. Sometimes it's like, I got 5 minutes, buddy. That's all I got for you today. Or we can play. And I have found some joy because we are so much alike. It's scary. We'll both be sitting there, driving our cars in Roblox. We play this car tycoon game where you drive around and earn money and you put it into your car dealership and buy more cars and blah, blah, blah. The adult in me is like, okay, this is kind of pointless. But the kid in me is having a ball because I get to see it all again through an 8-year-old's eyes. Because when I was his age, technology was not at this level. I mean, this is night and day. I think we may have had the little handheld football games when I was his age. And we were kind of on the broke side, so I didn't get one until years after they were no longer in vogue. And it may have been a hand-me-down. I can't remember. Point being, I approached those moments, those opportunities with him I invested myself and I actually found some joy there. I said yes. And I've learned to say, yes, we can play a game today and we are gonna go to the store. Or and we're going for a walk. And I gotta run some errands. You wanna roll? And he typically does. Unless, we're going to Target and doing like the drive up, the pickup, he thinks that's boring. He must go in the store, as he told me yesterday. And so, again, just find a meaning in your life. Recognize what you can control and exercise that control appropriately. And let go of the stuff you cannot control. Just live in the moment. Sink into it. You'll be all right. The fifth tip that E.B. Johnson suggests for being more authentic every day is to decide who you want to be. And this is this idea again of deciding on this from the inside, not what the world wants you to be or what the world needs you to be, but who do you think you are? Who do you need to be? And then you try to match that up as best you can with the world. Okay. The key thing to remember with this idea of deciding who you want to be is that this is your decision and only your decision. You cannot live for other people. It is the express train to failure and unhappiness. It just is. I've learned that the hard way as well. I won't say I was a chameleon, but I am a helper. I am a builder. I'm a developer, and so I take on, I hate the word project when it refers to people, or situations, but that's how I worked them, like a full-time job in some cases. And I actually got wrapped up in more in that than I did in myself, in my authentic self, that I kind of forgot who the hell I was. And at a certain point, I had to recognize who am I? Lying in a hospital bed with nothing else to do, can't watch TV, can't because you can't hear. Your tablet only does so much. That question of who am I and what the hell am I doing? And more importantly, how did I end up here? I had to search for those answers, and so. I realized that I wasn't making this, I was running from the decision of deciding who I was going to be and what I was going to do. And I just remember, my mom said to me many, many years ago, you should be a writer. And I just looked at her and I remember I told her, I was like, oh, ooh, no, I don't want to work that hard. because I saw writing a book as a huge project, a huge undertaking. And in reality, it is. It's like birthing a baby, from what I understand. I will never birth one. I'm not even gonna pretend to have the market cornered on that experience. I've been told it's like birthing a baby. Maybe it's a virtual baby, but I can understand the anticipation, the anxiety, the concerns. Is my baby gonna come out healthy and fully formed, or will it be premature and defective in some way that it will not be accepted in a larger world? So I mean, I get it. I get it. So I'm still birthing my first baby and having a good time. I don't write every day. I need to. That discipline is coming back into play, but I am thinking and script, scribbling out notes every day. Got post-it notes in this little book, and it just looks sad. It's like, why don't you write in the book instead of putting all these stickers in the damn book? But that's the process right now, so I'm just going to be grateful for it. And apparently, it's what I can control, so I'm invested. Okay, so that concludes our main topic for today, for this episode. And I do want to get into a listener, I'll call it a DM. I can't call it a letter because it was all of like, what, three, four sentences here. But, oh, I didn't give this person a name. We're going to call this person Sheldon. So Sheldon says, Seeing this guy, but he's yanking me around. Feel like an option as opposed to the priority. But I am hung up. Should I leave him? Okay, so Sheldon, baby, I hate to kill the joy you might be perceiving with him, but clearly this joy is more, it's more Tragic Kingdom instead of Magic Kingdom. So I would say, yeah, you got to leave him. But before you do, if he's an asshole, then just leave him now. Just run, girl, run. If he is a decent person who doesn't recognize how you're experiencing him, how he's impacting you, that he's making you feel or inspiring you to feel, because he can't make you feel, he's inspiring you to feel like an option that he has as opposed to a priority, communicate that to him. And if you're not able to communicate that effectively, then you probably don't need to be in a relationship with anybody until you can communicate what you're feeling and what you need more effectively. But that's an aside. That's an aside. But again, communication is so critically important in building and sustaining an affirmative relationship. Dick and pussy only go so far. And again, pussy only goes so deep. So you really need to find the joy in this person, whoever they may be. So Sheldon, I would say to you first, you need to have your come to Jesus moment with yourself, where you realize that if you are being inspired to feel like an option, perhaps you are. And if you don't want to be an option, then you need to move on. Or accept the fact that once you talk with him, he might move on. So even though you hung up, we'll get to being hung up in a minute on somebody that ain't seeing it for you. Okay. So again, have your moment and understand what the possible outcomes of this could be, and understand what you're willing and able to tolerate happening. Because the reality is, you do need to probably leave him. Something needs to change, or you definitely need to leave him. However, he may not even know that he's coming up so short. So if you, in fact, are this hung up on the guy, and it's authentic and it's not lust, because, you know, we know dick is a beautiful thing and can make you do some things you wouldn't normally do. We've all been there. You need to recognize what this is. Are you hung up because you feel good when you're with them, but you really don't think you could roll over and see this man 30 years from now? Or, you know, do you see a life with him? Like, really, really, a life that you would be happy with? That what he's bringing to you from the outside can actually inspire some happiness and bring out the joy in you. If you see that, then you need to have a conversation with him, but you need to walk into it being ready to let him go. Because he may say to you, well, you know, I'm not ready to be in love. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for that. At which point, again, you really need to go. Now, he could be the one. And you might encounter him down the road when he's ready. In the meantime, you go do you. You say he's yanking you around. So clearly, he's either engaging in some fuckboy behavior or he's fuckboy adjacent. Okay? So with that being the case, you need to actually figure out what it is you want, what you're willing to accept, what you're willing to tolerate. What are your deal breakers? You know, what are your must-haves in a relationship with someone for as long as you anticipate this happening? Okay. Now, have that conversation. Let him know how you're experiencing him, how, you know, you're being inspired to feel about your, you know, about your interactions with him and this overall relationship to him and with him. If he basically just looks at you like you're crazy, run away from him. He is basically, he's either diabolical and he's gaslighting the hell out of you, or he's just ill-equipped for what you're trying to do. Run, child. Run fast, like the wind. Now, if he actually has a generally affirmative response to what you're saying, and he wants to engage you in a deeper conversation about, you know, what is going amiss, what's going awry, then you've got to be willing to settle into that conversation as well. And you've got to be willing to listen at that point. It can't be all about you at that point, because he's basically said to you with his response to you, you know, kind of pouring out your heart here, I'm in this with you. He's announced that he's now your partner. Like, this shit is legitimate. He feels similar to the way you do in terms of being hung up. And he may realize that he was fucking up and didn't know how to fix it. Or he may not realize that he was really doing you kind of dirty. I don't know him. I don't know you. So I can't really tell. But if he does offer a response to you that clearly indicates a level of interest, commitment, engagement, then you've got to be willing to settle in and listen to him as well and ask him questions. You know, what is he, you know, where does he see you guys going? What's his vision for you? You know, what's the plan? I hate to be all Steve Harvey about it, but what's the plan? He should have a vision for the two of you. You should have one too. And when you guys are serious, you share those and you see where they match up and where they diverge. And the matchups are great. You know, you plan to make those things happen that match up. The divergences, you negotiate those. And you build toward them as best you can. And, you know, and I think this is why I've come to realize that there, you know, you're not always going to find everything you need in one person. So sometimes you may have to supplement that person with friends, you know, the folks that you knew before you met him. They're your friends for a reason. I recognize that. Even once I'm, you know, old, married, and so-and-so, you know, hopefully, I will still be, you know, I'll still have relationships with my friends because they're going to offer me something that he can't. It just is. So, again, understand who you are, what you need, what you bring to this relationship. Articulate to yourself what it is you need to ask him. What do you need to share with him? What do you need to ask him, if anything? You have to share, but questions, some should come to you pretty quickly, such as, you know, what do you see happening between us? You know, what's the plan? What's the vision? Is the conversation deep? Or is it very superficial? You know, is he bearing his soul to you? And if he isn't, you need to find out why. Do you want him to bear his soul? Because if you don't want him to, then you definitely need to leave him, because now you're going to be abusing him. So, you know, all these little things, they'll come to you before you have the conversation, while you're sharing your initial comments, and then while he's talking. And don't be afraid to have a notepad and write your thoughts down. If not, and also be willing to write them down and just speak it to him from the script, you know. So you know, if you struggle with articulating something like that in person verbally, you know, don't handcuff yourself. Make sure that you are heard and that you are understood. Ask him to repeat back to you what you said, and then ask him what he heard. You know, that's going to let you know his level of engagement and what you do mean to him. If you are a piece of ass and he's throwing some good dick, then hell. Understand, that's no longer your boyfriend. That's just your piece. And if you still want to play with the piece, then play with the piece. you know, I'm not going to tell you to give up a good piece now. And, you know, if you can have a good laugh and a good tickle and rub and get you an orgasm out of the deal, then damn it, do it. But don't expect much else. The reality is, some men just, they are good with a dick and not much else. And some never get beyond that stage. Many do, and they make good life partners and husbands and co-parents and all that other stuff. But until he's there, you might just, this might be an exercise in self-abuse. So be willing to let him go, but also be willing to listen and to receive what he has to say and feel about you. So, again, get your battle plan together. It's not a war, though. Just, you know, get your plan together of what you need to share, what you want to ask. Take notes if you need to. Have that conversation. Put the big boy drawers on, because this is adult shit. Put them on and have that conversation. And be willing to walk away from it, walking away from him. But you could also be walking away from it feeling a lot of joy because you recognize that, oh, wow. Okay, so we both had some shit we weren't doing as best we could for one another. But now that we're aware of it, I got something to work on. I have another layer of purpose here that speaks to me on a deep level. And it supports this man that I say I love. That, you know, that's a win-win. It is. And again, it's also a win-win if you have this authentic conversation with him and you realize he is not the one for you. That's a win-win. Even if you do keep him around as a piece, as part of your rotation. You know, again, I ain't gonna say throw no good dick away. But I am saying that maybe that's all he needs to be. He needs to be a Thursday evening, you know, entanglement. And that's all. And you keep it pushing. That might be all that he can be at this point. Nothing wrong with that if you're okay with it. You can't straddle the fence. He either needs to be a piece or he needs to be a man. Can't be, you know, you can't straddle the fence. So don't allow the sex and all that good stuff to cloud the decision, the big decision that you have to make coming out of that conversation. Is this somebody that will have my back, that will be at my side when I need them? Or is he fuckboy adjacent or straight up fuckboy? Once you know those things, then you decide whether you leave him or not. Or do you build? He may not be the person right now that he's going to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. We all evolve. We all grow. And it's possible that, you know, he might be the person now that works for you. But in that time, he may not be that man anymore. And that's why communication is so utterly important. And being aware of who you are, what you want, being present in the moment. Letting go of you needing to be perfect or him needing to be perfect. Finding the meaning in him, what he brings to your partnership. Approaching it all with an open heart. You know, going, you know, maybe it's you having to watch NBA games with him because that's his shit. You know, and you just like, oh God, I don't want to watch this mess. You negotiate. Maybe you watch a game a week, or you could, you know, be like, well, look, if you get me a jersey for so-and-so, I can wear the jersey with some booty shorts. And, you know, I'll watch the game, but I'm going to tease you all the way through the first half because halftime you're mine. I'm just saying there are many ways that you can do this. And I've worked many different ways, although I am a sports person, so I've sometimes been on the other end of this, but I've also been the one to entice somebody out of watching a damn golf tournament. Cause Lord, talk about paint drying on a wall. Just, you know, yeah, Golf. I appreciate it. I recognize it's difficult, but no, it's just not. It ain't my shit. So, okay. So I think I've given you enough on this, Sheldon. I'm hoping that you are able to get yourself ready to have that conversation, but more than anything, to do that work on yourself, to recognize how you need to proceed and whether you do need to leave the guy. So again, he can either be your partner or your peace. You decide with the available evidence. All right, so y'all, that's it for Dr. Pookie. I hope that there was some healing this evening of some kind. You know, I never know who I'm talking to and what it means to him, but you are welcome to reach out and touch a brother. I am on Twitter at Dr. Pookie. That is DocTorPookie. And yes, that is, like I like to say, the Bugetto spelling of Pookie. You can reach out to me there. You can also reach out on Instagram. Am I on a gram? Yes. Sexual Healing Pod, I believe is the right Instagram. It's been a minute since I've been on there. But I believe that's correct. But it'll be in the show notes. So, and also check out the website. It looks like hell right now, but all the old episodes are there now. It's at www.sexualhealingpod.com. All of the episodes, the two previous iterations of the show, are all there, available to listen to download. You can subscribe to the show, and I'll be putting in more buttons on, you know, different ways to subscribe. But right now, it was year end, and I don't think half the platforms that I submitted the show to have approved it yet. So it's an adventure. But yeah, we'll talk about some of that later. But for now, I'm going to sign off because I am 31 minutes late to a meeting that I forgot started at 7. It's now 7:31. So I'm going to get up out this piece, and I hope y'all are having a good day. I'm hoping that your spirits are somewhat lifted, that you're able to find some speck of joy on a rather chaotic and infamous day in our nation's history, although there have been others. I mean, you know, we were enslaved up in this bitch at one point, so today is really not that huge, but it is still very abnormal and very destabilizing. So, but again, look for joy, and I will put the notes with these 5 tips and try to find the original article as well, because I believe it exists out there. I just got to track it down. Alrighty, so again, this is Dr. Pookie signing out as a proud member of the Pods by QPOC family. You know, miss you, brother Curtis Trelificent. Talk about another one just here one day and gone the next. Fellow podcaster, comedic genius, just a really sweet guy. You know, so he's part of the Loudspeakers Network, co-founded that with Miss Candace. And you know, check them out. They have some cool shows. I subscribe to about 3 of their shows, particularly Ratchet Ramblings, Crown and Collards. And every now and then I'll listen to the Not So Newlywed podcast. So check them out. But you know, subscribe to me too. And ratings and reviews would be wonderful. This is a show that's being relaunched, so it's like a new baby, and it needs all the love and care it can get. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform you use, I would appreciate a rating. 5 stars would be lovely. And a review if you got it in you. At the very least, you know, share this episode with somebody you know and love. Alrighty, so I'm coming up on an hour. I'm going to shut it down. Y'all be good to yourself and always keep it sexy and keep it healing. And I will chat with you soon. Take care.